Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. Then Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Thank you, God, for all the blessings we receive from you. Okay, technically, the ascension of Jesus into heaven occurred 40 days after Easter, not just a few days later. But indulge me a bit, please. We're still in that Easter mode. It's still Easter season. We're still riding that Easter high, so we can still tell Easter stories. This parting scene is bittersweet. Having finally accepted the truth of the resurrection, having seen Jesus with their own eyes, the disciples enjoyed 40 days of sharing fellowship with Jesus. Earlier in Luke's account, we find the story about the trip to Emmaus, where Jesus, incognito, appeared to and walked along with two followers to Emmaus. And as the scripture says, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there that day and absorbed all the truth and teachings that Jesus poured out for Cleopas and his companion? Later, Jesus appeared in different places to different disciples, eating with them and teaching them, opening their minds to understand the scriptures. On Ascension Day, he walked with them from Jerusalem to Bethany, about 2 miles away. It was very significant that Jesus chose to leave them in Bethany. Do you remember what happened in Bethany? It was where Mary, according to John's gospel, anointed Jesus with oil. He said she did this in preparation for his death and burial. Matthew says it was an unnamed woman who anointed Jesus while he was eating dinner with Simon the leper. But he too placed the event in Bethany. Bethany is also where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And we all remember what happened to Lazarus. He got sick. He died, and he was buried. But Jesus came and called him forth from the tomb. There was a distinct reason why Jesus took his followers to Bethany to witness his ascension. Certainly, it was a miracle that Lazarus was raised from the dead. We'd all agree on that. However, while Lazarus was raised from the dead only to die again, Jesus was raised from the dead never to die again. So as much as the onlookers were inclined to say, oh, yes, Bethany, Jesus resurrected Lazarus there, technically, Lazarus was not resurrected. He was revived. He was resuscitated. But he was not resurrected because somewhere down the road, Lazarus would again taste of death. That's why Jesus wept. He knew that resuscitation was a one-time deal, and Lazarus would, in the future, die once more. He would have to go through it all over again. But Jesus would never die again. He was raised to live eternally. Hallelujah. Amen. It makes me wonder if Lazarus was among the witnesses to Jesus' ascension that day, and if he realized that although what had happened to him was miraculous, what had happened to Jesus was marvelous. Although Lazarus surely knew he would die again, he also received assurance from Jesus that because he, the Savior sent from God, lived eternally, someday Lazarus and all the rest of us who believe in and follow Jesus will live eternally too, even though we will die. And we are the recipients of a final promise Jesus made. Just before leading the disciples to Bethany, Jesus told them, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. That would be the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, which Jesus had told them about at the Last Supper. We'll celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost 50 days after Easter. Jesus had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come. It's part of a wonderful paradox. Jesus had to leave so he could be with us forever. Jesus had to die once so we could live forever. This is what God sent him to earth to do, and he fulfilled his duty beautifully. So Jesus' Ascension Day wasn't a sad occasion at all. It was a joyous one, full of promise and power. But the best part of the Ascension is the last thing Jesus did. The Acts reading fleshes out what happened that day a little bit more than the previous reading. The disciples asked a question that was really gnawing at them. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus told them that wasn't the thing they should have been concerned about. It was more important for them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come on them. They had an important job to do, to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, to talk about all the miracles they had witnessed, to recount all the deeds of power Jesus had performed, to share with people God's love. Jesus had never told them he would restore the kingdom to Israel, but he had often told them God was preparing a new and better kingdom, that it would encompass and include the entire world, and that was why what they should prepare and wait for. As he was rising toward heaven, Jesus lifted his hands and blessed them, just as he had made provisions for his mother right before his death, entrusting her to John's care. So Jesus made provisions for his followers just before leaving them, entrusting them to God's care. He didn't want them to fall into despair and disrepair after he was gone. He wanted them to know he still loved them and he would watch over them even after he returned to heaven. You would think the disciples would be heartbroken over losing Jesus, but instead they returned to Jerusalem with joy and purpose, because they hadn't really lost Jesus at all. He was still with them, although he was not bodily present. He left the blessings behind for them. He didn't take the blessings to heaven with him. The disciples were blessed with confidence and hope. They were blessed with power and assurance. They needed to be blessed. The road ahead was going to be challenging, and they needed all the help they could get. So the last thing Jesus did before returning to heaven was to bless them. This was not just the last blessing they received from the Lord. This was an everlasting blessing, a blessing that would never be taken away, a blessing they could cling to forever, a blessing they could count on forever. The ascension was not the end. It was a new beginning for the disciples and for the whole world. They were now charged with continuing the work Jesus had been doing, healing and helping, preaching and proclaiming the goodness of God, serving and loving. The charge has now come down to us. We too have received the last blessing, the everlasting blessing, from the risen and ruling, resurrected Jesus Christ. So now it is up to us to continue Jesus' work. There was one last promise he bestowed on the disciples before he disappeared, a promise the angels who suddenly joined them on the hillside stressed. As the followers stood there looking up into the sky, probably thinking Jesus would be right back, two men in white robes, obviously angels, stood by them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Did you hear the promise there? He's coming back. Jesus is now at God's right hand, ruling, and one day he will be returning. That is cause for joy. That is a cause for celebration. That is surely the most blessed of blessings. But it is a blessing with a caveat. We can't stand on the hillside of Bethany looking up at the sky, waiting. We have work to do at the bottom of that hill. We have people to reach, people to teach. We have promises of power to share. We have been blessed just as much as the disciples were. The command Jesus gave to them at the end of Matthew's gospel is now ours. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." And his last words hold one more blessing for us. "Remember," Jesus told us, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Truly, we are blessed. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to us, to bless us and lead us, to give us power and promises and work to do. We commit ourselves once again to following the Savior and doing your will in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.